Praise God. Here we are, right here in these chairs for Living a Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries today. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope, and that was a word from the Lord for me through our dear brother and sister with who we love so very much. And little did they know how right on that was. Of course, I think they do know. They flow in the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way with every one of their shows. We often say around here, tune in at 2:30 instead of 3 o'clock because you gotta hear what they have to say. Hang on, let me answer the phone. That is probably Betty. Is that you, Betty?
It's me.
All right.
It's me, BLP.
Okay. Man, did you just hear that, Betty? Did you hear what the word of the Lord for me that came through them?
No, I did not. I just, in fact, I just turned off Pantalk because I heard the intro and it's like, I got to grab my phone. What happened?
It's just a powerful, powerful word from them to me and from, started with Brother George and then it went to her too, our dear Bishop. Oh my gosh, just a minute. I am looking for it. I believe it is Joshua 5 and it is, I'll find it here exactly, the verses in a minute, but oh my gosh, powerful, powerful word from the Lord. And I will really study that later, but it's right on. So, Betty, we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life, and with me is Dr. Angel in studio today instead of on the phone, which is very nice to have you right here in the studio, Dr. Angel. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Actually, Nan came along to listen. She's not planning on being on the show, but you never know. If God gives her something, then she'll just chime in, you know? So we've got a full house in here today, which is really great. So excited about what the Lord is doing. I had an amazing time in the last several hours with the Lord, just breakthrough time, but not just in prayer, but in Him speaking to me. And this from coming through our dear brother and sister is just the icing on the cake right here. And so we are going to give it all away today. I've got some, in fact, God said to give it to you as a gift. It's going to be a gift today. Some verses, especially for you, Dr. Angel and Betty, that are coming today that God gave me as Rhema word this morning for the two of you, actually for all of us, and our audience is going to be able to grab hold of that gift of the Rhema word of God. The Rhema means, it's a Greek word that means the word of God that comes alive and just pricks your heart and just is exactly what God is saying to you for that moment. When we just read the Bible, it's called the Logos. The Greek word for that is just the reading of the Bible. But sometimes there's verses that just stick out to you and just absolutely blow you away. Talk to me about that, Betty, because I know you understand it because I've been teaching this concept since clear back in our Cornerstone days in Indiana, back in the late 80s and early 90s, right?
Oh, yes. And I think one of the things that speaks louder to us is hope.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is our hope. He is our everything. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, you have taught this when we were younger, and things that we still remember, even from that teaching, is that, you know, you can't give up. You've got to keep
can't give
going.
Up.
You can't get discouraged because that's where the enemy can really get us down when we're discouraged. But, you know, it's that hope line that, you know, the Lord gives us through His word. And it's just, you know, just like your Facebook post, words of life.
Yes.
That's what they are. They give us life.
Yes. Wow. Praise God. I did find what the word of the Lord was to me through our dear brother and sister. It's Joshua 5, starting with verses. This is in very small print. Hang on a minute. I believe it's verse 13 through the end of the chapter, which is 13 to 15. So it concludes with The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And the word had to do with forces coming against the work that God has given me to do, the ministry. And God says that there is this, the commander of the angel armies is standing right there ready to intercede and really ready to push the work forward. Dr. Angel, you heard it in here. What did you remember? You want to comment on that?
Well, it was definitely powerful and definitely very relevant for us right here and right now.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when you're making changes or moving forward, it's easy to get discouraged or to lose sight, especially when you're hit with maybe adversity or challenges.
Yes.
And
yes,
that was just the confirmation of the forward movement.
It is, isn't it?
Keep pressing on, yes.
Absolutely, because yes, we are actually making some changes right now. We have decided to, in some ways, kind of downsize in a way in order to get stronger and bigger. Actually going to be moving to my living room for Sunday mornings and saving some money there, but believing that God is in this move and that he knows what he's doing. And the power of the Holy Spirit wants to move mightily in each of our lives, Dr. Angel. And that's what I heard in that word, that it is, that the forces that have been coming against us, and there have been a lot of forces coming against us. And I guess when you're out there on the front line week after week, we're in our 11th year with this show on the air, and when you're out there, you know, the forces of the enemy come at you, sometimes in different ways, sometimes physically, sometimes financially, sometimes emotionally, whatever it might be, it's always an effort of the enemy to stop the anointed word of God. Talk to me about that, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty on that before we do our first song.
Well, you know, that's true. You know, especially when we're like getting in that sweet spot with God and he's moving us forward and he's bringing us, you know, where his will is guiding us to go. And you know what? The devil doesn't want us to get there. So he
absolutely
brings
not.
Distractions and he brings adversity and it tries to take us off course. And it's so vital that we just keep trusting God and keep staying in that will and moving the way he's guiding us and not letting our mind focus on all those distractions around us.
Absolutely. Betty, I couldn't agree with you more, Angel. Betty, you have a comment to that before we hear this first song? Right on,
oh,
Angel.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, you know, amen to what Angel said. And I think that we have to understand that when we're up against these roadblocks or these mountains that we're facing, again, is not lose hope. Because
right.
God is our lifeline. He is, you know, he's
yes.
the blood. He's the our high tower. He's our cornerstone.
Right.
He's everything. And that's where we have to stay strong and not lose hope.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about so much more. We hope you'll stay with us today because there is a gift of some promises coming today on this show that are going to really encourage us and help us. Some Rhema word from the Lord coming up here. Whoa, we're going to start with this song. See if this doesn't do it for you. All things are possible. He's the healer of your body. He's the savior of your soul.
Stand up against you. My feet are planted.
get that down on the inside of you right now. All things are possible to him who believes. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Woo! That's got to apply to almost every single one of us in our audience today. All things are possible, Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26, hang on to that verse. And I'll tell you what, this is a time in our lives where we have nuclear threats, where we have all kinds of issues around us, sometimes within our own little circle of family or work or whatever. And God says to you today, dear ones, all things are possible. Believe me for the miracle that you need. That is what God is saying today in this show. Believe me for the miracle that you need. It seems impossible, perhaps. Some of you are going, you don't know how bad my situation is. You don't know how sick I am. You don't know the diagnosis the doctor gave me, or you don't know that I have $2 in my checking account. It doesn't matter, because God says all things are possible. What he wants you to do, and this show is going to help it happen for you today, is reach out in faith and believe him for the miracle you need. Lay it down. Write it on a piece of paper. God, here's what I need. Write it out. Argue your case with him. That's what the word says in Isaiah. Argue your case with him. Talk to me about that. Woo! Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to Angel. Wow. Let's argue our case as we go to Genesis about chapter 31. Go ahead, Betty.
Amen, Pastor. You know, that song just resonated with me. It's perseverance. You know, even under stress and under duress that, you know, we face on a daily basis, both, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, is that we have to keep pressing on. And we have to remember that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. We just, again, have to have faith. We got to be faced up. And praise
amen.
Is the beginning. Praise is the beginning of that.
Oh, amen.
It's like, you know, all things are possible,
yes,
Lord, through you.
Yes.
It's just amazing how much, you know, just, you know, listening to that song, how much more revved up.
Right.
How much more fired up. How much more in your spirit that you can say, God, I can do this. I am an overcomer.
Yes.
And that's the thing that we have to get through today, is that all of God's people are overcomers.
Amen. Oh, amen, amen. Oh, Angel, talk to us about that. It really, she's right. It's got to be on our lips. It's got to be in our heart, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it can be hard to do that sometimes. You know, I do love the fact that we serve an absolute God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not some things are possible. It's
right.
Not these things could be possible. It's all. It's
all
absolute.
Things.
Like, nothing doesn't fit in all. Like, all is all. And the absoluteness. Like,
whoa.
We don't live in an absolute world. And we, you know, and he's so absolute. I love that.
You're right. In fact, I tease you a lot of times on our Thursday night show that we do on counseling, life coaching, because sometimes when I ask you a question, you'll say, well, it could be, or it might be. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I like your point right there, because yeah, those things with people, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But with God, say it again.
It is absolutely all.
All things are possible to him who believes. Okay? Nothing is impossible with God. And we got to grab that. That's the first nugget today. The first Rhema nugget today as we do this show today. All things are possible. And that word that came to me through our dear friends on the show right before us, I tell you what, I am claiming that and standing on that right now, that the power of heaven is behind us and is pushing us forward into the blessings of God and to all that he wants us to do. And no weapon formed against us shall possibly prosper, because all things are possible. Whoa, hallelujah. Let's just make that the second nugget today. I hope one of you in there is writing these down for me. So the first one is all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. And the second one is no weapon formed against us can prosper. And that's Isaiah 54:17, I believe. I believe that is. Talk to us, Betty.
Wow. I tell you, you get to thinking about how things are in our lives, or we think about how things were in Jacob's life, and we see that perseverance, patience, and endurance will stand. And sometimes, you know, I think I said this before, that we have to be still before the Lord. Today, I think that the stillness is going to turn into the walls of Jericho coming down for a lot of people. Financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, is that we have got, there's power coming down from Almighty God.
Woo!
And if he is all powerful. He is all things.
Amen.
To every one of us who believe.
So amen.
I think that through this, through these scriptures, through the word of God, through the words that, you know, the brothers and sisters gave you before, that it's time. The time has come for God's people to rise up. Rise up and be healed. Rise up and declare.
Amen. Amen.
What you want in your life, what you said before, we have got to rise up and we have got to be sold out.
I totally agree. Betty, I think so often Christians get in this lull of almost being rocked to sleep by the devil, where he just kind of lets us think, well, you know, that's just not going to happen. After all, there's this odds against you and that odd. And you know, this thing is, that's pretty hard. You're asking God for a whole lot. I mean, come on, wake up, church. Come on. What do you need? Do you need a physical healing right now? We're going to claim it for you in this show today. Do you need a financial miracle? We're going to stand in the gap with you today. Do you need something to really break through with your children, or with a divorce that's pending that needs to get better, or whatever the case may be? Whatever it is in your situation, God Almighty says, just ask me. Just ask me. Just come to me in faith, believing. We've been talking about Jacob here in this Precious Promises series. And Jacob was sent by his parents, Isaac and Rebecca, to go back to his mother's homeland to get a wife. And we've talked about that in the last few weeks. And now we're in a place in Genesis 30 and 31 where Jacob was received by his mother's brother, his uncle, Laban, into the family there, back in the homeland, and he was really treated kind of bad by his uncle. His uncle deceived him over and over again. And it's interesting that sometimes those that we feel like are closest to us in our lives can really jab the knife in some place, right? Angel, you want to talk about that? I'll go to Betty for that.
Absolutely, that happens.
That's life, isn't it?
It blindsides us.
Yeah.
You know, we've laid out this trust, and we do. We feel the knife jabbed. We feel betrayed. We feel all kinds of feelings. And then I think we start to use those same feelings and equate them towards God.
Ah, that's a good point. Talk to us about that.
You know, when the humans in our life that we've trusted the most seem to let us down or stick those painful knives in, we kind of put that blame onto God, like he's going to do the same thing to us, and we hold back.
So we attribute those same qualities to God. And I think that's probably true, because especially if it's something that's hurt you very bad, then your trust is broken. And basically that was the word. You and Nan sat in here and heard it that was coming to me through our dear friends there on the show before us. And they were saying that same type of thing, that some that have hurt you, some that have stood against the ministry, that have tried to block the progress, that have called for defeat and all of that kind of thing. That stuff is blocked and stopped in the name of Jesus by the huge angel army that is working in our stead and working for us. Is that what you heard, Angel? Because that's what
Absolutely,
I was hearing.
Absolutely, yes.
That's what I was hearing, that no matter how great the opposition has been, and, you know, we're in our 16th year as a ministry here, Beacon of Hope, and I'll tell you, yeah, there's been a whole lot of things happened through the years. I don't even want to write a book on that. There's been some of the people I've trusted the most don't speak to me now. Some of the people that have been the closest to me have walked away And yeah, that kind of stuff hurts, but you go on, you get up and you go on, because God never lets go of us. He never lets go of us. So talk to us, Betty, about that. And I think I'm going to play that song. I wasn't going to play it right then, but I'm going to play it right now, because that's just right on right here. Go ahead. Betty, well, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think that once we have overcome the hurt and we've overcome the blindsidedness that the enemy has thrown at us, the hardest thing to do is to let go.
Yes, right.
Those people were in your life for a reason.
Right.
And God, you know, released them for whatever reason so that you could grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because possibly those people could have been holding you back
right.
from God's blessing.
Yeah.
So by letting them go and letting them go gracefully, as we so try so hard to do,
mm-hmm.
with no animosity.
Right, absolutely.
No anger, no nothing.
No, I agree.
We say, okay, God, okay, I know this had to happen for a reason. I don't know the reason. I don't need to know the reason. But we have to grow from it. We have to...
I agree.
Become more Christ-like in our behavior when those type of things happen. And we pray for those people that God will lead them, that God will direct them, and will give them whatever they need. That's hard to do. That is so hard to do when someone has wronged you or...
But it's so necessary.
But you have to do it.
You have to do it.
It is necessary.
Forgiveness is the root of so much of the problems we have, unforgiveness in that respect, and so much a part of the solution for our problems when we really let go. Forgiveness does not mean that you agree with what was done. It means that you let it go. They don't owe you anymore. Dr. Angel, talk about that. And I say doctor because she is, and she is my co-host on the Thursday night show. And she's a PhD licensed mental health counselor. So let's hear your expertise on this forgiveness issue.
Oh, it's so vital. It's vital to all parts of our health, our spiritual health, our emotional health, our physical health. When we harbor unforgiveness, it is toxic to us. It is like a venom going through our veins.
And it is.
It just impacts everything in our life. And you know, you're right. A lot of people, I can't never forget that. And I can't forgive unless they say I'm sorry. And it is not about the offender. Forgiveness sets you free.
It's not about the offender, is it? And I think so often that's where we get tripped up. We expect, okay, we even play little scenarios in our brains. Well, one of these days a phone's going to ring or the email's going to come or the person's going to knock on my door and say, boy, I was wrong. I'm so sorry I treated you like that. But rarely does that happen. And I'm older than the two of you. And I can tell you from 30-some years in the ministry and pastoring, rarely does that ever happen. Betty, talk to us.
I'm glad to admit that you are older than I.
I'm sorry, but I am admitting that.
Okay, great. Now that we can go on. I think one of the things that forgiveness does is that it heals you.
It does.
It heals the hurt. It kind of puts your heart back together. And when you were talking about in the Facebook post this week about heart healthy,
it makes
our, once we have that forgiveness, our heart becomes a lot healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where God speaks. That's where God speaks to us, to our heart. And once we have that healed heart, once we have that garbage gone, God can speak to us more clearly.
Yes.
We don't have that cloudiness. We don't have that remnant of gloom and doom over us. It's like, oh, God, I've had an anvil lifted off of my shoulder.
Right, yeah.
By doing this. But I think that, you're right on in saying that forgiveness does. Forgiveness is something that we all have to do. Sometimes it's not easy.
Well,
when we do it, it heals us, I think.
It does.
Heals us.
And, you know, yes, I did teach that on the Facebook post. You can get hashtag heart healthy. Look it up this week from the Facebook from last Wednesday night. But so often we get stuck in our situation and nothing changes because it's not changing in us. and we're expecting it to change in someone else. Angel, would you talk about that? Talk about that, Angel.
You know, you're right. I think we just falsely believe that whole forgiveness is dependent on the other person.
Right.
And we forget where we have control. You know, we talked about that last week on the radio, where our power lies. Our power lies in, I can forgive this and let it go. When we don't, it's like we're carrying all the luggage of all those hurts with us everywhere we go.
Right.
You can't outrun it. You can't get away from it. You're taking it.
Yeah.
And so it truly not only heals our hurt, it truly sets us free.
Sets us free. So let's talk about Jacob. Okay. So Jacob goes into this, back to his mother's land. His uncle Laban takes him into his home and he starts to work for him. And because his parents sent him there to find a wife, and he fell in love instantly with Rachel when he saw her at the well. We talked about that last week or the week before. And so he loves Rachel so very much, and he asks for her hand in marriage. And so in that custom in those days, the person wanting to marry the person had to give a dowry to the father. Okay, it's not been that same way. Sometimes it's the other way around in some cultures. But in this culture, it was Jacob owed money to be able to buy, quote unquote, the hand of Rachel. And so the day comes, and the payment, since Jacob had no money, was labor. Okay, and so for labor, Laban said, you have to work for me 7 years to get her hand in marriage. So Jacob said, okay, I love her that much, that's fine. So the wedding night comes, and probably a lot of feasting, and who knows what they were drinking, and he wasn't too well. He probably wasn't in great shape when he got in there, and she had a veil over her head. And long story short, in the morning, he found out he had married Leah, the older sister. And it was a trick. He was deceived. Betty, talked to us about that deceit, and then we're going to do this song.
Well, I don't think that Laban had that honesty was the best policy in his case.
No, it wasn't.
It was being deceitful, because Laban was so deceitful in everything that he did for 20 years that
right.
he held Jacob in his clutches, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes, he did.
And it has, you know, eventually. The old saying, what goes around comes around,
right,
is that the Lord is going to eventually stop whatever is going on. I mean, it took, even though it sounds like a long time, 20 years is a long time, but Jacob would come out ahead.
Yes.
And that's what we have to look for, is we have to hold on. And, you know, most people wouldn't have held on in today's world, wouldn't have held on 20 months. Let alone 20 years.
Right.
So we have to understand that God had his back. God had Jacob's back.
He sure did.
And Jacob knew that. Jacob knew that, you know, whatever he endured, that God was behind him and God was for him.
That's because God never lets go of us. You never let go. Love this. Let this get down on the inside of your heart tonight. Today.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear.
Take it for yourself.
I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is
God. Can anybody out there say praise God? I tell you, no. God,
praise
you
God.
Never let go of us. You don't let go of us. And God never let go of Jacob, even though Jacob had had some deceit of his own in his past younger days. God absolutely was leading Jacob and taking him by the hand. Some of you out there are missing your blessing because you feel that things you've done in your past are robbing you and keeping you from the future that you think God wants for you. And we're going to destroy that myth right now, because the word says in 1 John 1:9, I guess this is golden nugget number 3 today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So no matter what it is that you feel like is so bad that God has just taken his hand off of you, that you just can't become everything that you thought you were going to be in him, it's just not going to happen. God says to you today, stop the stinking thinking. That's a word from the Lord. Stop the stinking thinking. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe Jacob had a turnaround when he got into that new place, a new time, and a new season in his life. He met Rachel. He decided he immediately fell in love with her. He wanted to marry her. He was willing to work 7 years for her hand. Then he was deceived by her dad. And so he went through the whole week of the marriage week with Leah, and he worked another 7 years for Rachel. But it sounds like from the scripture that after that whole week, he was able to go ahead and marry Rachel too, and then work another 7 years. Total was 14 years, and that's a whole lot of work. And I wonder if there were times during that time, Dr. Angel, where he thought, man, I've been deceived because I deceived Quebec when, you know, his dad, you know, during the blessing put on him instead of his brother Esau, although Esau had already traded his birthright away for a meal. So, I mean, there's some justification for that. But still, he was a deceiver, and then he was deceived.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that's, you know, part of the human experience. Sometimes when we start going through negative things, we start thinking about, you know, this is my fault, or is this because I did X, Y, Z?
Yes.
And we forget, you know, that God doesn't keep records and he doesn't keep account. When he forgives us, it's gone. It's in the
sea. No, it's
sea
gone.
It's, you know, as far as the east is from the west. And
it's crazy.
But we remember and we keep those records and we keep those accounts. And I think then we will start maybe wearing the garment of shame or the garment, you know, of unworthiness. And we have
we do that.
Not pick those garments up.
Yes, we just can't. We can't do it. Betty, talk to us.
Well, one of the things I think that once you've been a deceiver and you've been deceived, you realize the consequences of that. And I think that it may take some very little time. Sometimes it takes a long time to realize, okay, God, all I have to do is ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We realize that during that time when you were the deceiver, what did you feel like when you were deceiving? I mean, there couldn't have been any type of happiness or joy that you got out of it. At least it wouldn't be for me. But then on the other spectrum, the other hand, is that, oh, I've been deceived. Now I know what it feels like. And
yeah,
I think Joseph had a reality check.
Jacob. I think Jacob did too.
I really do think he had a reality check. And think, you know, God's standing by him. He's protecting him on this journey. And he had to realize, okay, God, I know what I did. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sure he probably said it a little bit differently, but I think that Jacob's heart was starting to turn around.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. It took him a while, but I think he did it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he did do it. And I feel like that during these, as it turned out, 20 years, the first 14 he's working for to pay off his marriage bill, his wedding bill. Weddings are really expensive these days. I guess back then they were kind of expensive too. I mean, 7 years and 7 years for two wives. But the wives started producing kids, at least Leah did. And just a quick little reference to that, Jacob is the father of 12 sons and one daughter. And you can find the account of those kids. Six of those sons were born to Leah, who felt very unloved by Jacob and knew that he had really wanted to marry Rachel and not her. But because she was the oldest, she's the one that was married first. But, you know, God honored that and blessed her and gave her six sons and one daughter. Amazing. And then a couple other sons by one of her maids. So really eight of those kids came through Leah. And then Rachel's maid gave him two sons. So that brought you up to 10. And then Rachel finally had the last two sons, which were Joseph, who very important character in the Bible. The most important of all these 12 boys was Rachel's son, Joseph, which is quite interesting. And then Benjamin was the last one. And then the one girl, Dinah. So in all of those years, and then, of course, the 12 sons of Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel. Even though there's no tribe called Joseph, two of his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, one of them substituted for Joseph, the other for Levi, because Levi was the tribe of priests. Jesus came through the line of the fourth child of Leah, which was Judah, and his name means praise. And so it's so interesting that Jesus didn't even come through the firstborn. He came through number four, which is interesting. The number four in the Word of God always talks about worldwide evangelism, gospel for all of us. Didn't Jesus say in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's all of us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Didn't God say that to us? So he brought Jesus through the line of Judah, Leah's fourth son. Talk to us, Angel, and we'll go to Betty.
Oh, I just love how God works. See, he works.
Isn't it?
You know, his ways are not our ways, and he works through the unexpected. And I think that's how we miss it sometimes, yes, is because we have an idea of, okay, well, this is how God's going to do it, and he doesn't. And we miss where God's actually working in our lives. And I think that happens to us over and over because we keep expecting him to come through over here, and he's behind the scenes and have already come through in so many other mm-hmm. areas.
Yes.
We are not seeing it.
I totally, totally agree. It is like that. So often we just don't see it. Betty, talk to us.
Well, I think sometimes that when we don't see it, that we're blinded. We have to come to the realization that Satan will blind us.
Right.
On many occasions so that we cannot see the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
And how we overcome that
yeah.
is by praising him, because the devil cannot stand. He cannot work when the blessings of God and the Holy Spirit is present in your life. And that comes by praising, reading the word, praying, and consistently praying, praising, and believing in God will help you to see where God wants you to be. It may take a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. It just depends on what God's plan has for your life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard. I know in my life, it's sometimes those things are hard to swallow. They're hard to see. And, you know, especially the last few weeks, you know, we've seen a tremendous blessing in these last few days, where the last few weeks have been in turmoil.
Right.
There's been a lot of unforeseen things that all of a sudden, I mean, it was one of those suddenly moments where you see breakthrough. You mm-hmm. see that finance, you know, you were needing, you know, God, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay this medical bill? How am I going to get through this? And the suddenly moment, something appears, someone blesses you with money or food or even a prayer or a hug, and you see that breakthrough coming through, and that's the Lord working on your behalf.
Whoa, amen. I'm going to relate that back to Leah here at the end of Genesis 29 when she has her fourth son. She says, this time I'll praise God. And I think so often we let life happen and then we go, wait a minute, I need to be praising God here in the middle of my struggle. And she called him Judah, praise God. And it's through that line that Jesus came, through Judah. This time I'm going to praise God, right? And so I taught this concept. It's not original with me. It's Graham Cook, but it's called a celebration sandwich. So we're going to put that on our little golden nugget list today. I don't know where we are, Nan. Are we on number four, number five, number four? That's interesting. We're on number four, Judah, praise. And it is this. It's a concept. It is celebration sandwich. You start your going to God with praise and worship and thanking him and praising him before you see the answer. Then you pray for your need. You lay the it's like the cream in the Oreo, and then you put another layer of praise on it and thank God that you have it before you see it. It's called a celebration sandwich. So it's praising God, it's then going to him and arguing your case, and then you finish it up with, God, I'm praising you and thanking you for the answer before I see it. Whoa, praise God. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you know, I think we miss that sometimes. I think, you know, when our life is going great, it's easy to praise. It's easy to celebrate.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then it's not.
And then it's not.
We kind of lose that a little bit because then we get so focused on what's going wrong that we forget that he is still a good, good God
mm-hmm.
and all things are possible.
Right.
And, you know, and he is with us. He is leading us to where he needs us to go. And so we need to continue in that praise even when we're in the storm.
Oh, absolutely. I also said this on Wednesday night's Facebook post, but it's not original with me either. It's Graham Cook. I always want to give credit where credit's due. Under real pressure, we either fold or we focus. We either fold or we focus. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, when you said that Wednesday night, it's like, I mean, it hit me like a bombshell. It's like, I have wanted to sometimes give under pressure. You know, the hose, and you know, like if you have a water hose and you've got a kink in it and it backs up and you hold this pressure. But once you let go and you focus and you think, okay, God, this is going to work. This water hose is going to flow. My life is going to flow. And when we get into that moment of praise, prayer, and praise, we're hungry. When you mentioned the sandwich, we're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
We're
good
hungry
point.
Enough to say, God, I need you. You have, you know, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I've changed my whole way of worship. I used to just be pray, and then pray. Okay, now God turned that around after 60-some years and said, no, I want you to change. I want you to be the praiser. I want you then to be the prayer. And when I did that, I grew.
Yeah.
I grew a lot more in a few months than I had in 7 or 8 years. And it comes because I was hungry. My body was hungry for the word of God, because I would read things and it would just go like one ear and out the other. And then when I changed that to that sandwich that you're talking about, I wasn't as hungry spiritually as I was before.
Praise God.
And it feeds us. It gives us the nutrition that we need for our spiritual life to be able to overcome the deceitfulness that we're facing, the hardships, the financial burdens. We're facing physical diseases and things that have attacked us. And God wants us to be healthy. He wants
Amen.
Us to be spiritually healthy. And praise God for that spiritual sandwich.
Woo! You know what we're all talking about today? This is a new day. This is a new day, and it started with a word that came today to me through our dear friends. This is a day where God is saying, I'm pulling out all the angel forces. I'm coming against the attacks of the enemy. Days of Elijah. That's what this is. It's Days of Elijah, guys. It's a new time in the spirit. Listen to this song and get into it. Woo! Days of Elijah. That's what we're living in right now. It's a new day. It's a new day. Focus on Him. Focus on Him.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Amen. That's what we're doing today.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert,
Woo!
Crying,
prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Drop.
God. That's who he is, Almighty God. Praise God. That's Almighty God that we serve, who was, who is, and who is to come. That's Almighty God. Woo! He loves you so very much. This is the God of Elijah. Oh, and he is, Jesus is coming back one day. And we want him to come back for us. We want to be able to be in his presence for all eternity. Praise his holy name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's Change Your Heart Day. That's really what I feel like God is saying here. Like we did on Wednesday night, hashtag heart healthy. God wants us to have healthy hearts, not just physically, but especially spiritually, emotionally. And I read something the other day, again, it's Graham Cook, and it said this: if you find yourself in a time of loneliness, fear, anxiety, worry, and all that, change your mindset to one of gratitude. Let's make that golden nugget number six today. Okay? I believe it's number six. Five? It's number five, Nan? Five. Okay. Change your attitude, whatever it is, your mindset, to one of gratitude. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, when you're feeling discouraged, defeated, let down, worried about the future, anxious, change your mindset to one of gratitude. When you start being grateful and declaring it out loud, declare God's praises. Thank him for what you do have. Thank him for what's going on in your life. Thank him for his gift of salvation. Thank him for the way he heals your body. Thank him for all the good people in your life. Thank him. Thank him for his presence in your life. Things are going to turn around for you. We are coming up on the hour. Betty, you got about a minute to talk about the prayer line. Would you do that real quick?
Yes, I sure will. One of the most wonderful things we can do is pray for each other. And you can do that if you have a prayer request. You can write it down, no matter how big or how small. Send it to prayers at bohmglobal.com. We will react. We will type a prayer underneath your request and send that out to our prayer warriors, both here in the United States, and it goes even across the continental world, so that people can be praying. If you have a praise report, please send it again to prayers at bohmglobal.com so that we can thank the Lord for his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be a part of our prayer warrior team, you can send it. Please add me to your prayer list. Again, at prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Amen. Good job. Yes, absolutely. Dr. Angel, talk for a minute about our Thursday night show. I love doing that show. I love doing this one, too. I love doing that one, too.
I do. Thursday night is great. It's Go Yard. It means hitting the home runs in life. It is a life coaching show, and we get in and give listeners practical tools to get through everyday life, because life can sometimes throw some challenges at us. And
right.
So it is very positive based, solution focused, and something really practical that you can use every day to make your life a little bit better.
Give them an idea of some of the topics we cover on Thursday nights.
Oh, wow. We have talked from everything from parenting strategies to relationships, fighting fair, boundaries, friendship. I don't think there's a subject unturned at this point in almost our 3 years.
Worry, fear. We just really handle them all. And our website for that Thursday night show is GoYard 2014, because that's the year we started that show, almost 3 years ago. GoYard 2014 .org. I just got it wrong. And we do question and answer shows a lot, and you can send in your questions. Dr. Angel will answer on the air when we do a question and answer show, and you can email those to goyard2014@gmail.com. And we mentioned the Facebook post, so that is on Wednesday nights, usually at 7:30.